explain what Golden Age Tai Chi Miller is and what it's for and what we hope to learn about the Absolute Gawa group from it. And I did tell you something about the Absolute Gawa group already, because I told you, I gave you the group GT, and I told you that GQ is inside GT. And since GT consists of elements having these three properties, well, we know something about GQ. But we might ask, what use is that? And what does it tell us about what we've been looking at the whole time we've been here, which is the action of GQ on fundamental groups? Okay, now we know that elements of GQ are some lambda x with f having some funny properties. But what does that tell us about the action on pi ones? So today what I want to do to finish up is to show you, for the pi ones of moduli spaces, which remember I tried hand-wavingly to persuade you were the most important pi ones in the world, everything that this Golden Age Tai Chi Miller theory tells us about the action of the Gawa group on those pi ones, and I think it's quite amazing how much we can now determine about that action. So I have to go back to some... Well, luckily I already said this because I said it in a review session, so I don't have to completely start from zero because I already explained it. We had a topological surface sigma of type Gn, so, but here we were looking at the genus zero case, so just a sphere with some n-marked points on it. And remember, the diff plus is just oriented diffeomorphisms. The diff zero are the ones which are isotopic to the identity. And what I was explaining was that a diffeomorphism, when you're in just genus zero, it just means that when the analytic structure moves, it just means that the points are shifting places. That's the only thing that can happen, is your marked points move. And that if you parameterize that with time and you look at their movement, you're getting a braid. So I was connecting the mapping class group is the name of this group, which is also the pi one of the moduli space with braid groups. Okay? Here we saw what a Dane twist was. I wrote the loop there. The Dane twist along, well, at the very bottom is a row of points, which is supposed to be a row of points on P1. And there's a loop there surrounding two of the marked points. And that loop could be seen as a braid, which is right there next to it. Let's turn this one on.
But you want braids in C minus 0, 1, right? Because they're braids in the sphere, first of all, that you...
No, the point is this. I want braids on the sphere mod something else. To really get the mapping class group, I need to mod out the braid group by something, but I definitely don't want to talk about what that is. It's a detail, it doesn't make any difference to anything. That's why I wrote stuff. Okay, where it's a stuff means, yes, there's a little thing you mod out by including the center, and stuff, but it doesn't matter. Really, it doesn't matter. For all practical purposes, everything I'm going to say, you can go right ahead and think of gamma 0 n as being braids.
Could you raise it so we can see the bottom?
This is the bottom, actually. There's nothing to
worry about. You can't see the braids
like this. So
oh, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, all right. Okay. Okay, fine. Okay, so what did we just say? We said, I want to study what we learn about the action of GQ on pi 1 of moduli spaces using Gawa Tai Chi Miller theory. So I first have to say something about the pi 1s of those moduli spaces. And for the moment, I'm looking in genus 0. That won't last, but it's for now. Okay. Now, we also had a look at this in the review session the other time. It's almost exactly the same situation, except that over here I was just looking at diffeomorphisms which didn't permute the points. And then I said, but actually we could also very well look at diffeomorphisms which do permute the points. And so you get a slightly bigger group, in somewhat bigger group, an extension by Yassin, in fact. And it just corresponds to the braid group just as much, except that now you have all braids. Those braids, they couldn't permute the point, so every strand of the braid had to come back to the place where it was. And these are all braids, that's all. So we've got a bigger group now. But this one's nice. It's a very revealing group. It has a good geometric interpretation. So, shall I move this up?
Yeah, maybe.
And it's also easier to give the permuting points group by generators and relations. Of course, I could have given you this one by generators and relations, but it's kind of uglier. So it's nice to say, that's that by generators and relations. And this here is the subgroup living naturally inside it by giving braids which don't permute the strands. So now, we will recapitulate this definition here. So, GT, one of the great things about it is that it's made of these pairs lambda f, where lambda lives in something we understand, and f lives in something we understand. I'm not going to pretend we seriously, truly understand a profinite group, because there's never anything really finite about it. But still, so far as one can understand a profinite group, f2 is a very nice one to look at. So the first condition was possibly conjecturally not necessary, just that the usual automorphism of F2, the usual action on the generators of F2, we've been seeing constantly, and you were just seeing it linearly in Makoto's lecture, it has to be invertible. Otherwise, GT is not going to be. And then there are the three properties which we already saw, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a third sketch of a proof of this fundamental result. Because this is the most important thing, this and its consequences is the most important thing I want to talk about. And the third proof that I'm going to explain now is the geometry of moduli spaces, and it's going to try and show you where these three relations come from, right out of the geometry of moduli spaces. So that's my first goal. And it will answer some questions that some people asked me between lectures. Okay, so we just saw that gamma zero bracket n was the Fulbright group, and that it was the group of diffeomorphisms which do permute the points. And in fact, just like the other gamma zero n was a pi one of the moduli space, this gamma zero n is also a pi one of the moduli space. The other moduli space, remember every point was an isomorphism class of a sphere with n marked ordered points. And this is the same moduli space except that it's spheres with n unmarked unordered points. I just forget the ordering on the points. I just take n points, a set of n points. So it's almost the same moduli space. Geometrically it's a bit different because I quotiented by the natural action of Sn. But the idea of it is the same, and so it has a somewhat bigger pi 1, but which is certainly not harder to understand. If anything, this pi 1 is easier to understand because it's just the break group of those relations of generators I just showed you. Now, this moduli space is also defined over Q. It's funny. I put the transparencies on top of each other. That's why some other ones rubbed off. Anyway, we have that usual map from GQ into the out of the profinite pi one that we've been looking at for the last 4 days. And that's what we're going to look at. First, we're going to look at the smallest case. So the smallest case is M04. So M04, as we already saw, is P1 minus 3 points. But now, we're modding out by S4. And you know what? That's just the moduli space of elliptic curves. I'm just making this remark. It's not necessary to the proof, but it's a nice remark. In fact, you just take 4 points, then they're not ordered anymore. I'm working with sets of unordered points now, and you just take the unique elliptic curve ramified over those points, and if you're using this set of representatives that I said of 0, 1, infinity, well, then you even get a nice Legendre form for your elliptic curve. Okay? So this is why I vaguely said, when I was talking about GT, that the first two relations come from 0, 4, or 1, 1. Okay? It's because, in fact, 0,4 and 1,1 are the same thing. So you can see either way. You can see it the way that you want. So, let's see where relations 1 and 2 come from. Okay, so we saw the generators and relations of the Bray group, but this little Bray group here, it's particularly small because it's generated by sigma 1 and sigma 2. You might ask me where sigma 3 went, but there should be sigma 1, sigma 2, and sigma 3, but here you don't need it because 0,4 is just a special case. This corresponds to a question somebody asked, actually. The loop surrounding the points 1 and 2 equals the loop surrounding the points 3 and 4, on the three of those two loops are the same. So in fact, here you don't need to consider sigma 3. You could add it in, but it wouldn't be useful. So we can actually just consider the break group on three strands with two generators. And F2, the pure break group living inside it, you can see it inside there. It's generated by sigma 1 squared and sigma 2 squared. And we already knew how GT acts on F2. It's x goes to x to the lambda, and y goes to y to the lambda conjugated by F. So that's what's happening to these two generators as well. This action, this is describing the GT action on gamma 0, 4 with brackets on it. But this gives a richer information on lambda F. The information that lambda F even existed, that came from the action on F2, because it acted that way on F2, and it gave the lambda and the F. But here we are looking at what because of our generators and relations. We're going to get a bit of information on F now. So what are we going to get? Well, we're going to use the fact that this gamma 0 bracket 4, it's PSL2 of Z. And PSL2 of Z, it's generated by sigma 1 and sigma 2 with the grade relation, but you can also just see it as a free product of an order 2 group and an order 3 group. And I gave the generators there. It happens that if you look at the generating relation, the generators and relations of PSL2 of Z, sigma 1, sigma 2, sigma 1 is of order 2, and sigma 1, sigma 2 is of order 3. And now we're going to see really where relations 1 and 2 come from. They come from the action of these two elements. This is actually a better description of gamma 04. This description here, with an order 2 element and an order 3 element, it corresponds much better to looking at M11, where you have that fundamental domain for the elliptic curves. And on the moduli space of elliptic curves, well, there's only two particularly special elliptic curves that have automorphism group, one of order 2 and one of order 3. It's really one of order 4 and one of order 6, because it's a minus 1 in there somewhere. But those two special points on M11 correspond to these two finite order generators. So the star up there easily shows, okay, you have to make a calculation. It's a few lines. It's not that bad. You calculate it on the order 2 element, and you get that it's itself times f of sigma 1 squared, sigma 2 squared. And then you calculate it on the order 3 element, and it's that element times something which I forgot, but which isn't important, an f of sigma 1 squared, sigma 2 squared. And now you just use the fact that this squared equals 1, so the image squared has to be 1, and you immediately whip out relation 1. And the same is with the cube. It's a cube, so you have to, you can immediately see roughly that you're going to get an f times an f times an f equals 1, and that is exactly what you get. You exactly get relation 2 from there. So this shows where relations 1 and 2 come from, really from the, well, it's from the generators and relations of the pi 1 of moduli space, but what those are doing is they're reflecting the geometry of moduli space. This order 2 and order 3 element is reflecting the geometry of M11. It's reflecting the fact that it's got two special elliptic curves on it. And that's what gives relations 1 and 2. So now, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to do that. It's not very well written down at the bottom either, anyway. You'll just copy little dots. Okay, so now let's have a quick look at relation 3. So I'm not going to do out the calculation like I just did, but I'll tell you that there's an order 5 element in the five-strand braid group. It's sigma 1, sigma 2, sigma 3, sigma 4. It's the product of those. As a braid, it's just a cycle. It's the first strand goes in front of all the others. And if you do the same calculation that I just did and you calculate the action of lambda f on that element, you get something. And then if you use the fact that that element is of order 5, you get the pentagon relation. You get relation 3. You get f equals 1. Okay? But the neat thing is that gamma 05 has lots of, it has four generators and lots of relations. But funnily enough, this one relation is actually enough to ensure that GT acts as an automorphism on it. You can naturally fit gamma 04 into gamma 05. So you have an action on this subgroup of gamma 05, and you're going to ask yourself when this action extends to all of gamma 05. And you'd think you'd have to have maybe several conditions fulfilled, and it turns out, so this was Ihara's proof, it turns out that this one condition is actually enough. So what does relations 1, 2, and 3 of GT mean? They mean that you act as an automorphism of gamma 04 and gamma 05 with this inclusion arrow being respected. And now is the miracle. There are lots higher groups, and they have way more relations, but you don't need them. This GT with these three relations that acts on 4 and 5, it acts on all the others. And here is the explicit formula. It's not that interesting in itself. It's not that revealing. We're going to see a much, much more revealing formula later on in all genera. But still, the main thing about it is that it holds. You get an automorphism of gamma 0 n for all n, for free, just because you got it on 4 and 5. 4 and 5 are the dimension 1 and dimension 2 genus 0 moduli spaces. So this is really what Grothendieck called the two-level principle and said GQ, because he's thinking in terms of capturing the Galois group with all this, it should verify a two-level principle. Just understanding everything about its action in the first two dimensions should give the entire action on all the whole tower of moduli spaces. And that, in genus 0, is exactly what just happened. So now that I've finished pretty much what I wanted to say about the genus 0 situation, I want to pass to genus G, where, although it's harder in some sense, also much more revealing, and you can much more, all right, so a little remark. So here, I told you exactly how GT acts on all the sigmas. Now, the sigmas are all Dane twists, so that's nice. I've given you the action on the set of generators, so in a sense you can say you know everything. But there are loads more Dane twists in Gamma Zero Red. And it would be nice to be able to say how GQ acts on all of the Dane twists, and actually this formula doesn't tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that afterwards when I go to G minus G in the general case. I'm going to tell you a combinatorial thing which shows you everything about all of how GQ acts and GT on all of the Dane twists. And before I tell you about it, I have to tell you where the idea came from. The idea came from Grothendieck's writing in the Esquisse d'un Programme. And I would like to read some of this to you, although I think maybe you've all read it in the notes already, but I assume you were reading hundreds of pages of notes and maybe you didn't stop on this, and this is really worth paying attention to. You have to imagine yourself being a grad student and coming on this manuscript, which is not published, which is now published, but which was not published, and not knowing anything about this, because it hadn't been done yet, and reading a description of what a person should look at and what they should be doing written in these terms that I'm going to read to you, and see if this would appeal to you or horrify you. Like, a lot of people react by saying, that doesn't mean anything. Whereas other people reacted by saying, this is fantastic and visionary, we have to do it. So I'm going to read it, because it's such an unusual way of writing math. Including the holomorphic sphere with three marked points coming from M03, we find 12 fundamental building blocks, 6 of genus 0, 6 of genus 1, in a game of Lego Teichmuller, large box, where the points marked on the surfaces are replaced by holes with boundary, so as to have surfaces with boundary functioning as building blocks, which can be assembled by gentle rubbing, as in the ordinary game of Lego dear to our children or grandchildren. By assembling them, we find an entirely visual way to construct every type of surface. It is essentially these constructions which will be the base points for our famous tower, and also to visualize elementary paths by operations as concrete as twists or automorphisms of blocks in the game, and to write the fundamental relations between composed paths. According to the size and the price of the construction box used, we can even find numerous different descriptions of the Teichmuller tower by generators and relations. The smallest box is reduced to identical blocks of type 03. These are Thurston pants, and the game of Lego Teichmuller I'm trying to describe, springing from motivations and reflections of absolute algebraic geometry over the field Q, is very close to the game of hyperbolic geodesic surgery of Thurston, whose existence I learned of last year. So either you want to play Lego Teichmuller when you read this or you don't, right? It really depends on the kind of person you are. So when I read this, I wanted to play Lego Teichmuller. So the point was, then I started So I read the Esquisse years and years ago. I don't know, maybe it was 15 years ago or so, maybe 13 years ago. And then I found out that there were other people reading this text in other countries and actually working on it. Ihara, there were Russians, Drinfeld, there were a few people actually working on this, but not in France. In France, no one was working on this because Grothendieck left behind him a great feeling of bitterness, and there was a kind of massive rush away from anything that he would say. So the basic attitude of people in France was, do not work on that. But I'm not French, so it didn't matter that much to me. And I read what the Japanese people and the Russian people were writing, and so a lot of what I've just told you is what pretty much about what had been done at the time that I read the piece and got interested. So I learned all this, and it was mostly in genus zero. In fact, it was entirely in genus zero. But I wanted to play Lego Teichmuller in all genera. And it was, the point was to figure out what he meant by that thing. Because that's on sets. And then it goes on to other stuff. So he mentioned that Thurston thing. So we looked at the Thurston's ideas. So I'm going to tell you how it goes now, and the wonderful things that it actually ended up revealing about GQ. So I'm going to talk about Lego. What the Lego game means is taking a topological surface and cutting it into pieces with boundary, the way he said. So another way of saying it is you put simple, disjoint simple closed loops onto your surface. And if you put on a maximal system of them, you cut your surface into cans. So I, after all these years that I've been working on this, I'm still working with the smallest and cheapest box. So nevertheless, the more expensive box will appear in the next slide. But okay, we're cutting the surface only into these tiny pieces. These are the smallest possible pieces. But just notice that every loop on any tiny decomposition, if I erase it, it's sitting on a bigger piece. And that piece is always of one of the two types. Either it's 0,4 or it's 1,1. It can't be of any other type, basically. Because these are the types corresponding to dimension 1. Dimension's always 3g minus 3 plus 7. Okay? So here, if I erase a loop, then I've got the pieces from the more expensive box coming into my game. And what is the game? Oh my goodness, my slides are semi-erased, I'm sorry. Okay, well, either you cut along loops and you take your surface apart into pieces, or you can just as well consider that you take pieces and you glue them together along the loops to put them together in the Lego game. It's the same thing. But it's nice to consider the Lego game. It's nice to consider putting the pieces together for this reason. If I consider like the left-hand side of that picture as being in a subsurface included in the whole surface, then what I get is a very simple homomorphism on the associated mapping class groups, which I've now written. The gamma of sigma prime and the gamma of sigma are the diffeomorphism groups I was talking about before, according to the type of sigma prime sigma. Okay, the truth is that this gives a beautiful geometric morphism on moduli spaces mapping to the strata infinity. So you can construct a category of moduli spaces like I was doing yesterday, but I'm just going to skip that and go straight to the pi 1 category, the category of the pi 1s of moduli spaces in all genera. I told you we were going to take all moduli spaces, so in the pi 1 category we're taking pi 1s of all moduli spaces, but I never told you what homomorphisms we were going to put in there. So I'm telling you now. It's just this very simple homomorphism that comes from the fact that if I've got a simple closed loop on sigma prime, then it's also on sigma. So the Dane twist along it, well, that's also a Dane twist on sigma, okay? So that just maps gamma of sigma prime straight into gamma of sigma. And these are the homomorphisms I'm putting into my pi 1 category. Okay, Dane twist along gamma goes to Dane twist along the gamma in sigma. I'm really sorry, my transparency seems to be semi-based. Okay. So first I can tell you this. I'll tell you this theorem. This theorem is essentially the generalization of the genus zero theorem I told you before. I will lower this theorem so it becomes this. Okay, so basically the idea is that just as GT, I told you that it acted on all the gamma zero ends, this GTG, the one with the fourth relation that I said in my second lecture, it acts on all of the pi 1 GNs. And it respects all of these arrows here. All of these homomorphisms are respected by the action. So what you're really getting is that GTG is the automorphic group of the whole tower of all the moduli spaces together with all those arrows on them. Okay? But notice that just exactly as what happens in the case of GT, where we only needed M00 and M04 and M05, and that made it go all the way up, here the same thing is happening, because remember the definition of GTG. It had just four relations, and they came from 04, 05, 11, 12. And this theorem tells you that this group, that's enough for you to go all the way upstairs and for GTG to act on all the pi ones of all the moduli spaces, just those downstairs conditions. So we have a two-level principle for this group GTG. But actually, the point is that this theorem is not that rich because I've told you that it acts on all the pi ones, but I haven't told you how. In genus zero, I kind of told you how. At least I gave it to you on a generating set. But that's not very rich. I'm going to tell you exactly how it acts. I'm going to tell you much, much more because of the Lego game. Never forgetting, I mean, always keeping in mind that the goal of the whole theory is to explain GQ, and in particular, to explain the action of GQ on these pi 1s. Okay? So one thing we know about the action of GQ on these pi 1s, or on any pi 1 always, is that it preserves the inertia groups when there are inertia groups. These inertia groups are always cyclic.
And in the case of the pilots of modular spaces, the inertial groups are exactly generated by data lists. So what that means is, I'm really sorry that they're so rubbed out. They could just make at least this one a bit clearer. Interesting. Try another one. Yeah, okay, I get it. I can now read my own handwriting. That's nice. Okay, so what's going on here? Okay, just the simple Galois inertia preserving property does tell us that all Dehn twists will be mapped to conjugates of their chi sigma power. This is something we do know about Galois. So when I said, but we don't know really how Galois or how GTG acts on the pi ones of moduli spaces, what I was really saying is I want to have it on all Dehn twists, because that's the natural symmetric generating set. And I want to know who that conjugating element is, because, yes, okay, I know that it's conjugated and raised to the right powers, but who is that conjugating element? And now, thanks to, okay, the fact that we know that GQ is in GTG, so we're going to find the conjugating element for all of GTG, in fact. And the Lego game properties, we're just going to tell you, I'm going to tell you exactly who F sigma is, and it's going to be beautifully simple and combinatorial. And it won't take many more slides. In fact, I think I am going to show which probably is. Okay, so I have to tell you about the Lego game. So the Lego game is, it works this way. What's the point of the game? The point of the game is to build up your surface with these blocks. So we're using a cheat box. So the cheat box is all blocks of type 0,3. And how many ways can I build up my sigma with these blocks? That's the Lego game. So, the generators of the game, the point of the game is to do it in all possible different ways. And all possible different ways are generated by two different moves. One is the first move where I put, remember I said every loop on a Pant's decomposition either lives on a 0,4 or it lives on a 1,1. So, every loop in the Pant's decomposition has a move that you can do on it. If it lives on 0,4, the move is the move in number 1. It's the A move. And when you do that move, what you get is you get a different Pant's decomposition. You get a different Lego construction of your same surface. And if you do the move in 2 on a 1,1, what the S move means is you take a loop and you substitute another loop intersecting that one in one point. That's what the S move means. Okay? And the point is that if you allow yourself these types of moves, then it generates the whole game. You can go from everywhere to everywhere, and you can get every single possible way of building up your surface by the pieces. So you really only need to understand about these two moves. And here's the theorem. GQ action, the GTG action, I mean. The real theorem is the GTG action respects the Lego game. So a fortiori, the GQ action does since it's inside it. And this is what that means exactly. You take a Pant's decomposition P. You can take anything you want, and you'll get an automorphism of the pi one, which we can explicitly describe. And if you take a different one, they differ by an inner, which is very easy to write down. So the choice of P, that's just part of the Lego game. If you choose another P, you move to that P by a Lego, and then you can figure out the inner that you change by. Okay, so to an element lambda from pi GTG, just for 1, 2, and 3 to be a bit more simple, I'm going to make the assumption lambda equals 1, and rho 2 equals 0, where rho 2 is something associated to lambda that I introduced in an earlier lecture. But this is a purely technical assumption, which has now been, the complete computation has actually been done by Tsunogai, generalized the formulas to the right general expressions. But I like this. I like this assumption, because this really gives you the gist of what's going on, and the lambda and rho 2 are kind of parasites that mess everything up. I mean, they're right, but they're ugly. So, to this lambda, I associate an automorphism FP of pi 1. It depends on the choice of Pant's decomposition, but not very much, just by a simple inner. And this is what it does. I'm going to tell you how it acts on every single Dehn twist. First of all, I look at the Dehn twists along loops that are in the Pant's decomposition. So it does. Those are left intact. Nextly, I look at the day twists along loops that I get from the pens decomposition by when I move. And those day twists are conjugated by little f of the new day, the old day twist and the new day twist. Remember, relation one tells you that this here is a conjugation. This is the this is the inverse of that. So I think it's cute to write it that way, but it's really just a conjugation. You have to think of it this way. When you make a move, it's a conjugation by f of old, new. And when you do a simple move, you get a dangerous throwing something out by a simple move, well then, you get that dangerous conjugated by f of old squared, new squared. And that basically this is it, because, I should say something here. When I say you make an A move on a Pansy decomposition, it isn't just that I take a loop and substitute another loop that intersects it in 2 points or in 1 point. The new loop mustn't intersect anyone else in the Pansy decomposition. I can't have my loops intersecting. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Lego game. Okay? So when I start with one Pansy decomposition and I make just one A move or one S move, I'm not yet getting all Dane twists. I'm only getting those which come from the Pansy decomposition by one move. So if I want to get any Dane twist, I've got maybe to make a sequence of several moves. But that's really not so bad. All I do is, if I want any loop whatsoever, and I want to calculate what the Gal action on the Dane twist of it is I take my Pansy decomposition, and I do as many A and S moves as I need to get one loop to go to that loop. And I keep track of my A and S moves by conjugating by an F of old new whenever it's an A move, and by an F of old squared new squared whenever it's an S move. And I just conjugate by all those things. And that's the action on my Dane twist. It's completely explicit. So the only difficulty, and I don't want to diminish this difficulty because it's really a difficult difficulty, is you have to show that this is independent of the choice of the sequence of moves. And when you look at that, you imagine you could choose two different sequences of moves and have two different sequences of Fs there, and that gives you a million trillion relations on the Fs. And we don't know them because we only have four relations on the Fs. And it would be hard to try to derive all of those. Unfortunately, that's not the way to do it, and it's a purely topological theorem about something being simply connected. But this difficulty is the hard point of the theorem, I admit it. I'm just hiding it here. So pretend that we have covered that difficulty completely. And what is the conclusion? The conclusion is that the Gromyk-Teichner theory has now told us exactly how GQ acts on every Dane twist on all the complete symmetric generating set of the pi ones and modulus spaces. And in fact, this is a completely combinatorial action. And this is something that just from studying the GQ itself without the help of Gromyk-Teichner theory, there was really no way that it could be determined. So that's it, I'm done.
Is rho t really a PS one? Rho t, so the Kuhnmann character with respect to t, to 2, appears here, what?
No, but I assumed rho 2 was 0.
It's okay. General form, rho 2 appears. My guess is not.
Wait, let me think. You know, I don't know. You think it doesn't appear, okay? You would think that there would just lambda would appear.
Well, because it's good reduction module 2. And if rho 2 appears, then it implies Galois action ramified, so it is a little bit strange.
You think what happens in general is that you just have d alpha to the lambda?
Well, rho 2 should not appear, is my p. Should not appear in the final form.
No, wait. That's a... I think you really have to make the assumption rho 2 equals 0 here, otherwise something goes wrong. But don't worry about it. It may not exactly appear in these formulas, but then there will be something else that will go wrong. Okay. But anyway, let's not worry about it. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you.
Thank you.